Blog Talk Radio.
Midget submarines on their back, and they were launched about 100 miles job was to get literally inside the harbor and torpedo all the American ships that they could. The total complement of Japanese air strength was 414 aircraft. The United States Pacific Fleet, the balance of it that was stationed at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, were 8 battleships, 8 cruisers, 30 destroyers, 4 submarines, 1 United States Coast Guard cutter, and 49 other auxiliary ships, for a total of 90 ships, and these were supported by 390 combat aircraft. The Japanese attack, although it should not necessarily have been a surprise with the deteriorating situation and negotiations breaking down between our government and the Empire of Japan, unfortunately, tragically, nobody in the high command believed that Pearl Harbor was a feasible target. They just felt that it was basically an impenetrable fortress, and that the Philippines, the United States military base on the Philippines, would be a more likely target. Interestingly enough, the Philippines were actually attacked the very next day. And as a result, most of the fleet was still stationed in Pearl Harbor when the Japanese struck. There were some 36 ships actually that were out of the harbor at the time, and very fortunately and very noteworthy, all of our aircraft carriers, most notably the Lexington and the Saratoga and the Enterprise, they comprise the Pacific Fleet aircraft carriers at the time. Contrary to popular belief, and this has actually been stated in books and movies erroneously, the Yorktown and the Hornet actually were not part of the United States Pacific Fleet at the time. Where was Yorktown when the Japanese struck? Well, she had just put in for upgrades at Norfolk, Virginia, the Navy Yard at the time, because remember how we talked about last time, how she was on escort duty at the time, escorting convoys. And the Hornet was still going through her fitting out phase and would not be officially commissioned into the United States Navy until the 2nd of February, 1941. Now, what's interesting to understand is that the aircraft carriers that were assigned to the Pacific Fleet, the Saratoga was in San Diego, California at the time, taking on a new air group, while the Enterprise and the Lexington were delivering 25 planes each, a full squadron of aircraft, to both Midway and Wake Island. The Enterprise actually had left Pearl a lot earlier than the Lexington, and the Enterprise actually was on her way back due into Pearl on December 7th, 1941, and actually was only 190 miles from the entrance to Pearl Harbor when the Japanese actually struck. The Japanese Carrier Task Force consisted of the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Carrier Divisions. The 1st Carrier Division was the Akagi and the Kaga. The Akagi was the flagship. The 2nd Carrier Division was the saw you and the hear you, and the third carrier division, the Shuakaku and Zuaku. And they were the six aircraft carriers that were used in this assault. Their main objective was to knock out our aircraft carriers. So in that sense, it was a godsend that our carriers were not there. The American losses, of course, at Pearl Harbor were severe. Two battleships were totally lost. That would be the Arizona, bless her heart, which is part of the very emotional memorial that is there, with the memorial erected directly over the center of the wreck, and the Oklahoma, which capsized and was later raised and sailed and was actually towed back to San Diego, and then en route to being scrapped, she was sunk basically in almost a hurricane type storm. In addition to those two battleships sunk, the U.S. suffered two more battleships that were temporarily sunk but then were later recovered, and that would be the West Virginia and the California. The California was the flagship of all of the battleships that were at Pearl Harbor. Three battleships were heavily damaged. That would be the Tennessee and the Nevada and the Maryland. And the battleship Nevada also made that heroic run for the sea and grounded at Hospital Point so she wouldn't sink and block the channel for at least 6 months to come. It was one of the greatest displays of heroism in all of military history when the USS Nevada got underway and actually managed to make it almost to the main channel. That was basically almost 1,200 yards, but then she came under severe air attack, and Val dive bombers from the carrier Kaga put an end to her famous, legendary, and heroic sortie. Other U.S. casualties, three cruisers were heavily damaged, three destroyers heavily damaged, and 188 aircraft were totally destroyed, 159 aircraft were damaged, and 2,403 servicemen were killed, and 1,178 were wounded. Practically half, almost half, like 49% of all those killed occurred on the battleship Arizona when it blew up. She was the watery grave to this day for 1,177 American sailors. Japanese losses were all five of their Midget submarines. Four of them were sunk, one of them was grounded, and it's part of the Pearl Harbor Museum now. 29 of their aircraft were totally destroyed in the attack out of 353 that were launched. Nine in the first wave, 20 in the second wave, 64 Japanese servicemen were killed, and one was captured. He actually was one of the crewmen on the grounded Midget submarine. Okay, once the Pearl Harbor disaster had taken place, it was absolutely critical that we gather up as many naval vessels as we possibly could, because the Japanese, their strike on Pearl Harbor was basically just the initial blow in a series of violent attacks that would become a juggernaut throughout Southeast Asia and into the South and Central Pacific. So the USS Yorktown was quickly armed with at Norfolk with her brand new anti-aircraft guns that we talked about, the Oerlikon 20mm anti-aircraft guns, one of the most effective anti-aircraft guns in naval history. And after these were studded with these new guns, the Yorktown departed Norfolk, Virginia on the 16th of December 1941, en route for the Pacific, and through the night she sailed with absolutely no escort. She reached San Diego on the 30th of December 1941, and upon entering San Diego Harbor, she was made part of Task Force 17 and became the flagship for Rear Admiral Frank Jack Fletcher. And this task force would include herself and the USS Lexington. It did not contain the USS Enterprise at this time. So once again, the Yorktown was formed with the USS Lexington as Task Force 17. The USS Yorktown's first mission in her new theater was to escort a convoy carrying Marine reinforcements to American Samoa. And departing San Diego on January 6, 1942, the Yorktown and her escorts covered the movement of Marines to Pago Pago in Tulia to augment the Marine garrison that was already stationed there. The Yorktown succeeded in safely covering this troop movement. And then she was joined with the first of her two sister ships, the USS Enterprise. Remember, her other sister ship, her final sister ship, would be the USS Hornet. And when she was joined with the Enterprise, they were formed up into Task Force 8, and this was actually built around the Enterprise. And so we had a pretty powerful carrier force there with the Yorktown and the Enterprise for the first time in there. Respective careers actually operating as one. But soon after the Samoan operation, the task force was split up because once again the Japanese juggernaut throughout the Pacific was really gaining steam at this time. And Singapore was about to fall, and it was just one Allied disaster after another. So the Enterprise immediately headed for the Marshall Islands, while the Yorktown headed for the Gilberts. Now, what's important to note here is that this was to be actually the first United States naval offensives of the Pacific War, and it was known as the Marshall-Gilberts Raid. Okay, and the USS Yorktown was being screened by two cruisers at the time, the Louisville and the St. Louis, along with four destroyers, which made up Destroyer Squadron Number 2. Now, what's interesting about the two cruisers that were providing shadow support for the Yorktown is the St. Louis is famous for being the first large naval vessel, bigger than a destroyer, to successfully leave Pearl Harbor. She actually came during the Japanese attack on December 7th. She actually came on the heels just a few minutes after the Nevada made her brave run for the sea. Early in the morning, the Yorktown on the 1st of February launched 11 Douglas TBD Devastators. Those were our first torpedo bombers. And 17 Douglas SBD-3 Dauntlesses. Those were awesome dive bombers. Excellent dive bombers. We will discuss their great contribution to victory in the Pacific War. They were the ones that really handed the Japanese their rear ends on at the Battle of Coral Sea, and more specifically the Battle of Midway. These aircraft, some 28 of them, were under the command of Commander Curtis W. Smiley, and the planes hit the Japanese shore installations and shipping at Jalut. However, we caught the Japanese by surprise here, and we could have done a heck of a lot more damage to them if Mother Nature would not have intervened, unleashing some severe thunderstorms that clearly hampered the mission and caused 7 planes to ditch on their way back to Yorktown. The Yorktown launched other attacks against Japanese installations and ships at Macon and Milley Atolls. So you see, we began hitting back after Pearl Harbor right away, friends. We just didn't sit on our butts. We were eager to hit back. And the USS Yorktown CV-5 was a big, huge part of this hitting back. And it began to really anger Yamamoto and other Japanese naval officers, high-ranking naval officers, that, number one, they were angry that they could not catch our aircraft carriers in Pearl Harbor, which were their chief targets, and torpedo them at Pearl Harbor. And that really gnawed away at them. And now our carriers were hitting back and bombing their shipping and strafing their shore installations. And this was really angering the Japanese, and they began to think in terms of a showdown with our aircraft carriers, attempting to lure them into one decisive engagement and finish our carriers off, which is something, of course, like I said before, that they missed at Pearl Harbor. Now, the attack on the Gilberts by Task Force 17, built around the USS Yorktown, actually achieved complete surprise because we did not encounter any enemy surface ships on our way to bombing their shore battery, the Japanese shore batteries. The Japanese did send out a single four-engine bomber called a nicknamed the Mavis. It was actually a patrol flying boat, more appropriately. Attempted to attack our destroyers, but anti-aircraft fire from our destroyers drove them off before they could cause damage. And later on, it must be stated that the Yorktown actually came under her first air attack when yet another one of those Japanese flying boats, as they were called, broke through the cloud cover and was bearing down on the Yorktown. But quick action by the air crews got two F-4F Wildcats into the air to ward off the attacker. And then they followed him until he broke through the clouds and our Wildcats blew him out of the sky. And as they used in naval aviator terminology, they slashed the enemy plane. So that was actually the first time in which the aircraft carrier USS Yorktown came under her very first air attack. And what that also shows is that time and again, as the carrier war in the Pacific increased in intensity and as 1942 went into 43 and 44, an aircraft carrier's greatest defense, friends, is not her vast array of anti-aircraft guns, but yet her own aircraft. That is her best defense, to launch her own aircraft fighters, get them airborne as a fighter umbrella to protect their ships, and use the fighter planes to wipe out an approaching enemy force of aircraft. Because if you have to use your own anti-aircraft guns, that means that enemy aircraft are within range of you, most notably torpedo planes. Okay, so that's just a little information there. Now, it must be stated that Task Force 17, once again built around the USS Yorktown, was scheduled to make a second attack on Jewett, but once again it was canceled as a result of Mother Nature and her heavy rainstorms, and they did not abate until darkness approached. So therefore, USS Yorktown, after a very strong beginning against the Japanese, was forced to retire from the area. Now, one individual who took note of the Yorktown's success was Admiral Chester Nimitz. He was quoted as calling the Marshal of Gilbert Graves as, quote, well-conceived, well-planned, and brilliantly executed, end quote. And furthermore, the results that were obtained by Task Forces 8 and 17, respectively, the Enterprise and the Hornet, the Enterprise and Yorktown, were noteworthy. Nimitz continued in his report, because the task forces had been obliged to make their attacks somewhat blindly, mostly because of the bad weather, and intelligence data on the Japanese occupied islands. However, they did inflict a lot of great damage. After this, the Yorktown made her appearance in Pearl Harbor to replenish supplies and ammunition, and would remain in Pearl until she would put out to sea in February 1942, in which her destination would be the Coral Sea. And that, friends, is where we will leave off tonight. Our next broadcast, we will discuss the Battle of the Coral Sea, one of America's greatest military victories ever in our long and profound history. Okay, we are about out of time, friends. I hope you have enjoyed the broadcast this evening, and tune in hopefully tomorrow evening at 12 midnight for part 4 of the U.S. The Heroic Fighting Lady. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you to everyone archiving it as well. Have a great evening. Good night.